ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Did you get it on the board? It's there, just about. Is it? Chapter 2, text 41. Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhihi Eka Iha Kurunandana Bahu Shakha Anantaha Cha Buddhayaha Avyavasayinam Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahushakahi Anantascha Buddhiyo vyavasayinam Vyavasayatmika buddhir Ekeha kurunandana Bahushakhahi anantascha Buddhiyo vyavasayinam Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Shraddha Shabde, Vishashkahe, Sudhida, Nishchoy, Krishne Bhakti Koile Sharva Karma Krittahoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabhaha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva, or Krishna, is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadan nagati katopi dhyang stuvang tasya yashastri sandhyang bande guru shri charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied, and by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Today, as you all know, is Janmashtami, the celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. It's a very special day. It's a very special day for me also because I was also on this day 42 years ago formally accepted by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada into the shelter of His lotus feet. Now you may wonder why on Janmashtami we sung this bhajan, which I rarely sing publicly, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, and why we read this purport in particular, this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Well, the reason is that we're also having an initiation ceremony today, and when you think, well, what's this Rupa Manjari Pada Bhajan got to do with initiation? Initiation means the beginning. And this Rupa Manjari Pada Bhajan, that's the highest goal, Prem Parakashta. The highest limit, there's no limit, but the highest extreme of pure love is not exactly, well, it's love for Krishna, but it's going through the system that Krishna likes, going through to be the servant of his servants. So that's one reason to show that where we're aiming at in this initiation, how far can we go? People are very interested in making their life a success. That's the motto of the Indian middle class. Make your life a success. It's all right, it's okay. Nothing to worry about. Make your life a success. Well, we're also very interested in making our life a success. Janma sartak. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us to make our life successful, sa'artak, meaningful. How high can you go? You can go to Vaikuntha, you can go beyond that, up to Dwarka, Mathura, up to Vrindavan and Narottam Das, his aspiration for the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, who is a servant of Lalita Devi, who is a servant of Radha, who is a servant of Krishna, who's a servant, who's the servant. She's actually the servant, and everyone else is going behind her. So that's one point. Another point is the intensity of vyavasayatmika buddhihi, fixed, intense devotion, his aspiration in everything that he does, his intense devotional service. Externally it's intense. He mentions his vratas, his tapa, his vows and his austerities. And internally, why is he doing all this? His whole meditation is to attain the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari. He says, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Sri Mora Shampada, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, the young gopi assistant. That is my wealth. That is my bhajan. All his activities is hearing, his chanting, his worshipping the deity, his study of shastra, all this is called bhajan. And pujan, these are very simple, very similar. His worship, it's all meant that for this, in everything he's doing, he's intensely meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari. So this kind of intensity is required. We'll get through to that a little in the when we come to discuss the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi verse, which we're actually doing now. Also, this intense one-pointedness in devotional service. Shemora Pranadhana, those lotus feet are the wealth of my life. They are my decoration, Shemor Abharon, Shemor Jibon Air Jibon. They are the life of my life. Life. What is this life? What are we living for? For this. This is what Narottam Das is living for. Shemor Rasa Nidhi. That is the treasure of rasa. I don't exactly know how to translate otherwise. They're the treasure of Russia. Shemor Bancha Shiddhi. They're perfection of all desires, all my desires. Everyone has so many desires. Bahu Shakahi Anantascha. People have so many desires. But Narottam Das correctly ascertains that the perfection of all desire is to desire the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari. Of course, it's not for everyone. Different devotees they'll center on different perfect devotees of Krishna. But Narottam Das, and actually in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya, as followers of Rupa Goswami, we are all indebted to him, we're all followers of him. So Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is Rupa Manjari in Krishna's pastimes. So we're all begging for his mercy. Shemo Bedera Dharama. Those lotus feet are for me the dharma that I follow according to the Vedas. Everyone has to follow the Vedic dharma. Otherwise, dharmena hina pashubhyena ranam. Otherwise, one is simply an animal. One should at least be a human by following dharma. But for Narottam Das, he's way, way above the platform of simply being a civilized human. His dharma is beyond this material world, beyond the spiritual world, beyond even Vaikuntha. And in Goloka Dham, Gokul, Golok, the service of Rupa Manjari. You ever thought of that before? Vaikuntha Teet, beyond even Vaikuntha. Shebrata, Shetapa, those lotus feet there. All the vows I'm following, all the austerity, Shemo, Mantra Japa, we can picture Narottam Das. He's chanting, he's following vows, he's doing austerity. His whole aim is simply to attain those lotus feet. Shemo Dharma Karama. Though they are all the activities that I perform according to dharma. So sadhu may be meditating on the spiritual world beyond, far, far beyond this material world. But he also follows the rules and regulations of this world. But why does he do it? His body is here. He's working in this world. But his mind, Anne Hridayaman Moramon Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for other people, the mind and the heart, it's all here in this world, mundane. But my mind is Vrindavan. So, then third verse I sung a little quickly. That's a happy verse. Anukula Hobe Vidhi is very hopeful that when my Anukula Hobe Vidhi, when my fate becomes, when it turns to be good, when I get good luck, by good fortune, Shepade Hoibe Shiddhi, I will attain the perfection of attaining those lotus feet. Nirokibo Eduin Ayone, then with these two eyes I will see those lotus feet. She Rupa Madhuri Rashi, that form is greatly sweet. The form, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, very, very sweet. She Rupa Madhuri Rashi Prana Kubalai Shashi Profulito Hobe Nishidine. This is very allegorical language that those beautiful lotus feet, which are like to my life, they are like the moon toward a particular kind of lotus that blooms at night. So in other words, without those lotus feet, he feels his life, that he's just closed up. But when by seeing those lotus feet, then just like the moon inspires the lotus to open. But he says, by seeing those lotus feet, I will be happy day and night. But then he comes back to this world and his presence, as he sees his present situation, he is aspiring for that tremendous bliss of attaining those lotus feet. But then he's been talking in the third person, now he changes to the second person and prays directly to Rupa Manjari. Tua adarshan ahi, by the snake of not seeing you. To me it's like garale jaralo dehi. It's the snake of not seeing you is like a poisonous snake that has bitten me, and that poison is consuming and burning myself. The body is engaged in the bhajan, the pujan, the mantra, the japa, the vrata, but inside the very soul, chirodin tapito jibon, on and on and on, such a long time, my life is simply burning in that poison. This is Narottam Das. Externally he's engaged in bhajan, internally he's burning in the fire of separation. So he calls out, Ha ha Rupa Karodaya, O Rupa, be merciful to me. Dehamori Padachar, give me the shade of your lotus feet. Narottam, Loiloshara, Narottam, this Narottam has taken shelter. Some devotees, they sing, Ayadham, Loiloshara, placing themselves, calling themselves very low, they place them in that position of Narottam Das. So, he has taken shelter. So who's taken shelter? The person who has taken shelter of has the obligation to protect that devotee. In other words, I've taken shelter. Now you must reciprocate. So this is the intense mood with which we should take to Krishna consciousness. And this is the intense mood with which we should accept initiation. There's a difference between being initiated and not initiated. Before initiation, at least in our ISKCON, one is already chanting 16 rounds, following the principles. And after initiation also, what's the difference between being initiated and not initiated? You sit in a ceremony. Well, from the disciple side, the difference is commitment. One takes a vow to chant 16 rounds minimum every day, to follow four regulated principles throughout one's life and forever into eternity. That's the initiation vow, but actually much, much more is implied, because it means dikha kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. At the time of initiation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a devotee fully surrenders himself. That's what it's supposed to be. With the intense desire to attain Krishna. Why should anyone do all these things? Why is Narottam Das doing his bratas and tapa, his vows and his austerities and chanting his mantra and japa, doing his bhajan and puja? Why is he doing all this? He desires to attain the loving service of Rupa Manjari. So why are we doing this? It's an extreme step in this modern world to take such vows. No meat eating, that's stated no meat eating, but it actually means only to take Krishna prasada. No food, just some bread bought in a shop or any such nonsense. No onions, no garlic. That in the modern day, that's a very big thing. Most of the vegetarians in India, they also take onions and garlic, which is just like eating meat, actually, from the Shastric point of view. It's amisha. It's contaminated food. So why take such a step? Why should one do that? Well, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that we just read that a devotee's the resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge, the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to attain to his lotus feet. But taking initiation is sitting in a ceremony. There's not a guarantee of attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. One has to take to Krishna consciousness with great intensity. One has to imbibe this spirit of everything for Krishna. Krishnarthe kila chesta. Whatever Krishna wants, I shall do. And everything I do should be simply for Krishna's pleasure. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada has noted in the purport that how can one attain, normally after discussing such a subject, someone will say, well, how can we attain such one-pointedness? How can we do that? Vyavasa yatmika buddhihi. Vyavasa. That word is used in modern Indian languages to mean business. So you can go and see a businessman. You go to Begum Bazaar and see the Marwaris. And what is there? They're all the time, day and night, thinking of money. Even when they're sleeping, they're dreaming of making more money. And a nightmare for them is they lose all their money. They lose their wife, children, that doesn't matter so much, but they lose their money. So you can learn how to be completely centered on Krishna by studying a businessman. How they're completely absorbed. Even they're eating, they're sleeping, they're passing stool. It's all the time, it's going on. Money, 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 money. So that consciousness, how to be absorbed in Krishna, you can go and learn it from the businessmen, but better not to learn it from them, because sangat sanjayate kamaha. One's desires are made by one's association. So you may come out thinking, money, 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 but you won't be able to do it because they've got mawari karma and you don't, except maybe Srikant Krishna. Is it? He comes from that community. But that's gone. Now he's got a new life. Srikant Keshav. He's got a new... So, in the material world, one has to have some certain kind of karma to do anything. We just sung this song, Anukula Hobe Biddhi. When my fate is favorable to me, when I get good luck, Shepade Hoibe Shiddhi, then I will attain the perfection of attaining those lotus feet. But Krishna consciousness is open to everyone. It doesn't depend on any background. This is the dharma of the soul. Although generally people who are very much absorbed in material consciousness, they cannot take to Krishna consciousness. We don't find many of the Marwari businessmen taking to anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. They may take to, many of them like to take to Krishna consciousness. There are many, or at least several, in that area, that Marwari area of the city, there are several old Krishna temples. I used to go there and do programs there. So Krishna temples are there. But the idea that everything for Krishna, that is attainable by good fortune. When one understands that now my life is meant only for Krishna. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By great good fortune, one achieves. There's so many jivas wandering in the universe. By great good fortune, someone can achieve the mercy, the real mercy of Krishna. People are making temples of Krishna, they're praying for Krishna's mercy. They perceive Krishna's mercy as shubh lab. Shubh means we'll have good fortune, and that's manifested. That means, well, lab is the main thing to make money, but then there should be good health, and the tax man doesn't come and get me. This is shubh. Everything should go on nicely. So they take that to be Krishna's mercy. They're pious people. No doubt. They are Krishna conscious in that way. But to get the understanding, it's not philosophically difficult to understand. Intellectually, it's not difficult to understand. But to make that the compass of one's life, everything in this world is temporary. The only reality is to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. So that's great good fortune. And over and above that, apart from realizing this world is miserable, I'm supposed to serve Krishna, to have a very intense feeling and love for Krishna and his devotees. So there are two things going on here. One thing is the desire to be released from all misery. That is the first impetus in spiritual life. And that's the first gift of pure devotional service. Kleshagni, that's the first thing. What the mumukshu, those who are desirous of liberation, what they attain after great difficulty, that is the first installment of taking to pure devotional service. One is freed from all material misery, including the misery of trying to be a successful businessman. That's another kind of misery. Even if you are a successful businessman, that's another kind of misery. Every one of you here in this room right now are in one very important way, actually the most important way, in a much better position than Mukesh Ambani, if you're going to give the example of a successful businessman. You're more happy than him. I haven't met him personally. I have nothing to say, kuch lena dena nahi mujhe. I haven't, nothing, no dealings with him, nothing. Nothing against him, nothing. But I can say for sure that all of you are more happy than he, by Krishna's mercy, because you're all engaged in Krishna's service. So that is the great gift that Krishna comes to give. He comes not just to give liberation. That's another symptom of pure devotional service. Moksha laghutakrit. But one who takes to pure devotional service, they see getting liberated, that's something very small, not very important. This whole idea that we'll get free from the suffering of the material world, it's a good idea, because this world is miserable. But it's a negative approach. To attain pure love for Krishna, our hearts will be flooded with love for Krishna. This is what Krishna comes to the world to free us from the miseries of the world, and moreover, most importantly, to invite us to come and join him and love him. So this initiation is meant for one-pointedness, that one may continue one's life as a businessman, or much more likely by seeing the statistics or understanding the way the world is, more likely to be working for a businessman. You may continue that. You can also come and join our farm communities if you're a grihasta, or be a brahmachari. You don't have to work for some kripana durajana. You don't have to work for some miserly rascal. You can work for Krishna directly. But even if you are working in this world in some job, just like these people here, I presume they're either working for the mandap or for some decorator, they're doing their job. So even if you do that, you go on, know that your life is meant for Krishna. And concentration on that, intense desire to attain that. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada citing Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as how one has to make one's what is desired is one has to come to this platform of full concentration, full intensity, full dedication, full surrender. Srila Prabhupada briefly quotes that mood that one should have. Srila Prabhupada related that after he had been initiated, even before he was initiated, he had the habit of studying Shastra. So after he had been initiated, he was reading, maybe for the first time, Bhagavad Gita with the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Prabhupada could read in Sanskrit, of course. Of course, that was available in Bengali translation, but either way, or Hindi translation at that time, I think not. But anyway, when he came across this, it was life-changing for Srila Prabhupada. We could say practically that his mission in life became defined at this point when Srila Prabhupada read this. So I'm going to read it in English translation now. This particular statement from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on this verse, which we can all meditate upon, on this, those who are going to take initiation. I hope they're all here. Hope they don't just turn up at the last minute. Are they all here? Oh, they'll go to the morning program there and then come here, is it? And for all of us, because Janmashtami, it's a day to celebrate. Krishna has come to this world. We want to go to Krishna. How should we go to Krishna? Krishna has left this world. Krishna came on Janmashtami, but then what happened? Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisa kalo nashta drishamesha purana kodhuno dita. Krishna left, and with him went knowledge, dharma, and everything else that's good. This whole material world is bad. Krishna is good. So when Krishna leaves, then what? Then everything bad. But Krishna stayed behind a Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the sun, the Purana, the Shastra that will give light in the darkness of Kali Yuga. And those of us who have lost our vision due to the dense darkness of Kali Yuga will get light from this Bhagavad Purana. So that Bhagavad Purana is Srila Prabhupada's most important contribution through Srila Prabhupada, through the knowledge he gives. We can go to Krishna through the parampara. There is something masquerading as a kind of philosophy that you just take initiation from Prabhupada and forget everyone else. But Srila Prabhupada, as a follower of the parampara, he wanted his disciples also to initiate. So on the day of initiation, we should think, what is our commitment to our guru, to our gurus? How are we going to go to Krishna? We're looking up to the lotus feet of Krishna, to the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, Narottam Das, Prabhupada, all these great personalities in the spiritual world. Then if we look down, where are we? a long, long way down. But they've given the rope of their mercy. We have to hang on intensely. Can you imagine? Sometimes now is the season in India, flood season. So someone they're on the roof of their house, and the whole house is flooded, and the water is coming up more and more and more. Just now I heard Haridwar is flooded, Mother Ganga, but not so high, just up to the. Anyway, you can imagine. Then the helicopter comes. I don't know if they save by helicopter. In England, when there are floods, they send a helicopter to. So then they throw the rope, and you have to catch rope. Can you imagine how tight you're going to hold onto that rope and go up? You're not going to be thinking about, maybe I should buy some Lay's chips. You think about that if you're holding on and you have to go up? Do you think about this girlfriend, that girlfriend? The only thing, I have to go up. I have to hold on tight and go up. And you hardly have strength to go up because you're being very weak and you're cut off from the. Normally, people don't exit, they may not have strength. But somehow they pray to God, give me strength to go, and then they go up, and then they're saved. So that kind of intensity, we should hold on to the lotus feet of the Guru in the service of Krishna. Yeah, so I'm going to read at last, having talked round and round, what Vishwanath Chakravarti says. The best kind of intelligence I can have is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. Intelligence is defined as fixed when it is intent upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the name of Krishna, remembering Krishna's activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. My spiritual master's instructions are my sadhana and my life. So here we see the same Narottam Das is singing. Shri Rupa Manjari Pada, Shemor Shampada, Shemor Bhajana Puja. So it's the same thing. Shemor Prana Dhana. My spiritual master's instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. This is very important. If we think in the beginning I'll be very devoted to my guru, later I'll learn everything, then I won't need a guru. No. I desire only to follow his instructions. I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Then imagine again the businessman. When he wakes up at night, what does he think of? Huh? Lab. My business schemes. What's he thinking? So same thing. We should be so much fixated. Whether I'm happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or is destroyed, I don't care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry out the orders of my spiritual master. Fixedness upon his orders is determined intelligence and devotional service. And only by being fixed on his orders can such determined intelligence prosper. So this is why one accepts a guru, to follow the instruction of the guru. Otherwise there's no meaning. And by doing so, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada, by the mercy of the guru, one can attain the mercy of Krishna. Now, speaking about something you could say practical, or how the material gets mixed with the spiritual, because giving initiation or accepting someone as a disciple gives one much power over a person. It's a position of power. It can be misused. It should not be misused. disciple has faith in the guru.
Yeah.
So there's power. There's also in many, well, there's also money involved because the disciple is expected to sarvartatma pano guru. He's supposed to offer his life and his money to the guru. That's Krishna himself says. So it's a position which can be exploited. Guru should be sincere to help the disciple, not exploit the disciple. Now, where there is money and power, there is politics. That's the nature of this world. What people are fighting over in this world is money, power, position. So although the role of a guru is supposed to be purely spiritual, but by its very nature it has the, in this world, it has the social effect of bestowing power upon someone in the role of a guru. And so there's politics becomes involved in the sense that people are ready to submit themselves, then they can be controlled, and then if there are many of them, then it becomes an opportunity to exert power for those who are interested in such petty things as exerting power. But it's not petty in the sense that it influences people's lives. So initiation, the guru-disciple relationship, the way it is in ISKCON in the world at the present time, we don't have gurus staying in one place with a few disciples. That idyllic idea of a guru staying in a place and disciples, he's just there all the time. That's there for the Gurukul, the idea. Krishna went to the Gurukul at Avanti. But then anyway, the Gurukul students leave. They're not there all the time. Or it may be in the heavenly planets, Brihaspati is the Guru. He comes every day to Indra's court. But then Indra became complacent, or familiarity breeds contempt. Indra insulted him. So we don't have that model of gurus staying in one place. I'm trying to do that more and more. I just spent 1 month at our farm near here. But even if a guru stays in one place, if he has many disciples, then there'll be devotees who act as intermediaries. Even Raghunath Das Goswami ran away from home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became a madman after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ran away from home. He came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his lotus feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, you be under Swarup Damodar." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't personally guide him. And even when Raghunath came to ask some questions, he would tell, you ask Swarup Damodar. He delegated Raghunath Das Goswami to Swarup Damodar. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes gave him instructions also, but mostly he would delegate to Swarup Damodar. When Raghunath Das came and said, "Now I renounced home, but what for? And what am I supposed to do? I don't know." So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu briefly instructed him, telling you'll get more instruction from Swarup Damodar. And he also gave him at one time the Govardhan Shila to worship and Gunja Mala. So there was some interaction, but mostly he had Swarup Damodar instruct Raghunath. So Raghunath became known as Swarupe Raghunath, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had several Raghunath and his following, Raghunath Das from Varanasi, Bengali family from Varanasi, and then Raghunath Boidha. So there were several. So Raghunath, he was known as Raghunath Das or Shurupe Raghunath, the Raghunath who belongs to Shurupe. So like that, there may be intermediaries also. And practically speaking, what happens is people are brought to me, as with other gurus in ISKCON and gurus outside ISKCON. They're mostly brought by others, other disciples who preach to people and bring them in and cultivate them and bring them to the level of initiation. I myself was not trained personally by Srila Prabhupada, but by some of his followers. So this, the followers, they may also become somewhat like gurus, and they may be seen like that by those who follow them. So it can be a very, just like for the initiating guru, it can be a very dangerous position and one that can be misused or exploited. So whoever's guiding others in Krishna consciousness, they should do so wholly and solely for the spiritual benefit of those others who they are guiding. They should have no other motivation. As I was saying there, we sometimes see political overtones. Someone is coming newly to Krishna consciousness. They're just becoming interested, and then three or four people jump on them to try and grab them into their group so that they can increase their own group and increase their own prestige. No, you have to come in our group. Our group is better. Our guru is better. That guru is not very good. Our guru is our guru is an Indian. That guru is a foreigner. Foreigners are useless. Or our guru is Brahmin by background. Or our guru is a special associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or something. But Shastra says one should see the character of a guru, not whether he's foreigner or Indian, or whether he's... Actually, it does say we're from Brahmin background, but anyway, where are the Brahmins now? Mostly all... I would think that most of the... In the present generation, most of the people born in Brahmin families, I would say probably more than 50% have eaten meat. They may eat at home even. And garlic onions, definitely more than 50%. Alcohol, smoking. What is the meaning of this? Brahmin. So, this business of grabbing people, bringing them into your group, making them your follower by some kind of politics or psychological manipulation, trying to show we are better than others, this is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. People coming to Krishna consciousness, we should try to help them. They're not entities to be owned, gobbled up, controlled. Try to help others. Sometimes we hear the Shiksha Guru is more the important than the Diksha Guru. Then they send for initiation. And then, you don't worry about the initiation. Just listen to me. If anyone teaches like this, we should know if we have any intelligence, that they have some ulterior motive. They're not acting for our benefit. They're not properly instructed. They have some motive to control us. So we should be, therefore, read Prabhupada's books. Listen to his lectures. Then you can understand. From the beginning, listen to Prabhupada's lectures. Read his books. Then we can understand properly. Otherwise, sometimes they introduce people to Prabhupada's books after already brainwashing you in their own understanding of Krishna consciousness, which is different from that of Prabhupada's, although they won't admit that. So guru in ISKCON means you should follow Prabhupada. That's the meaning. It's a clear thing to understand. Prabhupada is the follower of all the previous acharyas. We should follow Prabhupada. Don't invent anything new. As Prabhupada said, don't become over intelligent. Don't think you know better than your spiritual master. So these initiation means into Krishna consciousness, into the process of Krishna consciousness, which is based on hearing and chanting about and serving Krishna and associating with his devotees. So just like I was saying, we should read Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, who gave us all these books, who gave us this way of life. We should regularly study his books. And if you're being initiated by me, then you should hear my lectures also. How am I presenting Srila Prabhupada? If you listen to both Prabhupada's lectures and my lectures, then you should find that it's the same. If you find something different, then reject me. Because I'm not bona fide. Bona fide means I have to follow Prabhupada, that's all. Exactly the same, it's not going to be exactly the same. Because everyone is different. The guru doesn't turn out clones of himself. He even said that preaching means you read the purports and then you present in your own language. So it won't be exactly the same, but the philosophy has to be the same. The intention has to be the same. Otherwise, if it's something different, then if there's something different, then there's something wrong. It may be just a little bit. And we hear so many things. Oh, what Prabhupada said, that's not suitable, times have changed. If you hear such things, go away, a long way. Find those who will teach you what Prabhupada taught. If you hear, well, Prabhupada said this, but times have changed. Therefore, what Prabhupada taught, that doesn't apply. Then you just hear from me. And then they're cheating you. You should know. They may be going through the whole process of Krishna consciousness in many ways the same. But if they say, oh, what Prabhupada said isn't applicable now, it's all out of date. There may be some things, actually. Just like Prabhupada said, our best customers, in terms he was talking about preaching, are the hippies. Well, that's not true anymore. But as far as things like this mundane welfare work, we have to do that nowadays we have to emphasize that. No. It's very clear. Srila Prabhupada is very clear. That's not our mission. There are already so many people feeding the poor. What's the use of feeding the poor? Give them prasadam, okay, but you have to give them kirtan and instruction also, Prabhupada said. Otherwise it's nonsense. Otherwise it's taken as mundane food. And our attitude becomes like that also. Anyway, I won't dilate on this just now. But the point is that we should regularly hear Now we have these this speaker box with my lectures is available. I think it's not available in English here. Do you have it here? No. No, it's always no. It's always just now coming. In Hindi, it's fully functional. So that should be made available. Anyway, maybe in future, maybe in another lifetime. So taking initiation means commitment. It's not that, well, yeah, I go to the temple once a week and I chant my rounds at home or in the bus while I'm going to work. And that's it. But one, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, one has to know the mission of the guru. One, we take to Krishna consciousness to get free from all difficulties, but we're going to have to go through so many difficulties to attain Krishna consciousness. There's nothing difficult about Krishna consciousness, but this world is difficult. And to become free from attachments to it, we have to become attached to Krishna. And we may feel it very difficult to become free from those attachments, but that is required. It's the duty of the guru to put the disciple through some difficulty. Of course, we're not having torture chambers or any such thing. For most people, even to give up all these things, to have no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, that's already a great austerity. But the guru wants to see how the disciple is free from material attachments and actually ready for that. Sarvartatmapanoguru, to offer oneself and everything one has to the guru. Where the guru wants to see that. So it's the duty of the guru to put the disciple into some difficulty. And it's the duty of the disciple to accept that. Just like Krishna with Arjuna. Arjuna would have thought, well, Krishna, if Krishna said to Arjuna, yeah, I understand, Arjuna. You're going through an emotional crisis. You're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And I empathize with you. So, all right. Yeah, you're right. It's not nice to kill. So you just go and relax and don't join the fight. And Arjuna would have thought, oh, what a nice guru Krishna is. Oh, very good guru. See, whatever I say, he agrees with. And I don't want to have any trouble. And he arranges, no trouble. Krishna blasted Arjuna. First thing, you're speaking like a eunuch. I mean, there can't be a Klaibyamma. Krishna said, first thing, Klaibyam, don't be a eunuch. What's the worst insult for a Kshatriya? That's got to be the... And especially to Arjuna, because Arjuna had to go through the pain of 1 year of being a eunuch. It wasn't just theoretical. What a pain for Arjuna to have his hair was all braided. He was wearing a sari and speaking in a, what's that called, falsetto voice. What a pain for Arjuna. And Krishna told him, don't be a eunuch. Don't go back to being like that, Arjuna. You should have forgotten that by now, because it was only recent that Arjuna had been in that situation. What an insult. But Arjuna took it properly. He had faith in Krishna. That Krishna, he knows that Krishna has my well-being at heart. Therefore he could accept that. If Duryodhana had said that to him, he wouldn't have killed him, because that's for Bhima. But he wouldn't have let him get away with it. He would have punished him severely. Yeah, several times in the fight, Arjuna defeated the sons of Dhritarashtra and then let them go. Okay, you go. You go now, because Bhima's going to kill you. He promised to kill all of you, so let him do it. I'll let you go now. You have to meet Bhima. So, Krishna was, and he wouldn't let him off. Arjuna kept on arguing. Hey Krishna, come on, you're not talking logically. It's all contradictory. Arjuna tried to point out some fault, and Krishna just kept on insisting and insisting and insisting. You have to fight. No way out of it. Yeah, whatever way you take it, whether you take it on social terms or spiritual terms or dharmic terms, whatever way, whatever argument Arjuna put, Krishna just smashed it. He wouldn't let him out. And then at the end he gave him the choice. Yatecha Sita Thakuru. But he made it very clear. What is that? Ahankar. If you out of ahankar, if you still think, you told me outright, flat, nayotse, I'm not going to fight. If you still think like that, out of ahankar, if you think like that, it's just your false egoism. Told him clearly, you can do what you like, but if you don't do what I say, it's simply your egoism. So Krishna, he was a tough guru to Arjuna. There was no question in Arjuna's mind that anything that Krishna had his best interest at heart, he was tough. Right. Nowadays, disciples, if you touch them, they'll run away crying. Oh, I don't know. Oh, nice guru. And then they'll go away and exploit someone. They want a license to exploit others in the name of being their so-called shiksha guru. But they don't want to take, they won't, don't like to take instruction from. This is all false, this cheating in the name of being a disciple. You take a guru, there's a, now I got my initiation, now I can go and preach and I can make disciples, so-called for the guru, they give him 200-300 rupees every year, in the meantime, I control them. This is all cheating. This is all bogus. So what does it mean to be a disciple? One should understand. Try to understand. Otherwise now here in India, so many funny things going on in the name of guru and disciple. Mostly it seems to be like who can grab the most, just like Kumbhakarna on the fighting with the monkeys and throwing, picking them up, throwing them in his mouth. Who can catch the most monkeys and gobble them up? This has got nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The flow of mercy. Real mercy means to bring people to the level of anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. Of bhakti with the intention of becoming completely desireless, having no desire other than to serve Krishna. So people who have understood this, they should come for initiation. Otherwise, what's the point? So understand this. So read Srila Prabhupada's books. And those are my disciples. They listen to my lectures. So you can understand. Listen to Prabhupada's lectures. Then you can understand, what is this? Why are we coming? Why are we coming here? What are we doing here? What is this? Otherwise it may go on for many lifetimes, this. We may go on chanting and hearing for many lifetimes. Bahujanma kore jodi shravan kirtan tobuta napai krishna pade premadam. We may go on for many lifetimes hearing and chanting. We won't get the aim of pure love of Krishna. If we're not, we may go through the motions, but if we're not properly focused on the goal, we're not going to reach it. Just like to shoot an arrow requires technique and strength It requires this, to know how to string an arrow and shoot it and to pull it back if it's a very... The tighter the bow, the farther the arrow will go. So it requires the same strength and technique to fire on course and off course. Whether you miss or whether you hit the target, it still takes the same, it may be the same strength. So one may be doing all the right things, but not properly on target. And then you miss the target. You may think, well, I've been chanting for so many years. But if we have misconceptions, or if we remain materially attached, then we're not going to get love of Krishna. So to cut the material attachments. That comes from hearing. Vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sanshayaha. Then we can go forward. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Bhagavan Sri Krishna, who appeared. Who else appeared on this day? Krishna's sister. Krishna appeared and Maya appeared. At the same time. And if you're not careful, you won't be sure who's who. Kamsa was a demon. He thought this baby is the one. Then he found out it's not a male, it's a female. When Krishna comes, Maya comes at the same time. And many people think that Maya is supreme. They worship Maya as supreme. They don't get Krishna. So be careful. Krishna comes with Maya. We have to know the difference. There is a difference. Krishna gave her the names even before she appeared. So many names are given there. Bhadrakali is one of them. Kumada, Krishna, Vaishnavi, Narayani, Chandi, there's all names given to her. Later on she got so many more names. Durga is one of the names Krishna said. You will be known by these names. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I was wondering how is that, because Parvati is already there. Parvati is already there, but then how does she come again? Then we remember that Krishna told all the demigods, you go and appear in the families of the Yadu dynasty, among the Vrishnis, the Bhojas, the Andakas. So Krishna also told Maya that you go. He sent her like that. So she appeared again in this form. Not Subhadra. I was mistaken at one point. It's not Subhadra. She appeared later as a daughter of Devaki by Vasudeva. Hare Krishna. So, what are you all going to do now? Should have some kirtan, is it? And then 10:30 there'll be a lecture on the 10 offenses. And approximately 11:30 I'll come. All right, Hare Krishna.